If you have your Bibles, turn with me to a verse you may want to actually mark in some way. When I mark a verse, I like to draw a box around it. When I first started marking my Bibles, I underlined. And then, unless you have a ruler with you, which I normally didn't, then the line was a little touching this letter and touching that letter, and so it looked like this big blob of ink. So then I took red ink and underlined, and then I was dealing with somebody on the street under fluorescent light, and the red ink looked black. So there was another big blob, and people were kind of trying to read it. So I came up with the idea of drawing a box around the verse. And when I wanted somebody to read it, all I had to do is point, and they could see exactly where I wanted them to read. You may, of course, mark your Bible any way you want, if you mark it at all. But Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29. This is one of those verses that as you're reading through the law, it stands out because it's where he stopped telling us the revelation and now explains something to our limited understanding. So he says, "The secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." This is where God reveals things to us, and we say, "Yes, but what about that?" And he says, "If I haven't revealed it, then it's secret and it belongs to me. It's none of your business." When he said to Peter, "You will die by a kind of a death where you're going to stretch forth your hands and people will carry you where they want you, not where you want to go." He looked at John and he said, "Well, yeah, but what about him?" And Jesus said, "What if I say he'll just live till I come back?" John says, "And so from that time forward, people said I was going to live live forever, be the immortal, wandering the earth." He said, "But that's not what he said. Just if, what if?" And God was saying, Christ was saying, "That's up to me, Peter, and what I say for you has nothing to do with what I say with someone else. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The idea then is we are to focus on what we were told, what he has given us, and not focus on the unknown. What do you suppose the secret things are? Well, everything that he didn't reveal. But for us, one of the things is our future. He's not told us that. God is leading you step by step through your life. So reach out to his word. Hold him by the hand like a child in trusting dependence. If I go where he wants me to go, I'll be in the right place. Letting him guide you through this day. Your future looks uncertain, feels flimsy, even precarious. So you say, "Well, I'll go to a fortune teller." Well, I know about fortune tellers. And they are geared to read your face, read the way you dress, to find the tells about you. They'll start talking about something, and if you look excited, they say, "Aha, I hit it." And you can't hide those things from these people. And so they will tell you something about your future. But they don't have a clue. So your future is uncertain, perhaps even precarious. But that's how it should be. You see? The secret things belong to the Lord. The future things are secret things. And so, is it more precarious? Hold on to that hand all the tighter. Don't let go of him. See? Albert Barnes, a commentator, said this: the sense seems to be this. The future, when and how these good and evil things will take effect, it lies with the Lord our God to determine. It pertains not to man's sphere and duty. God's revealed will is that which we must carry out. We don't know the future. We can't predict the future. Often in counseling, somebody say, well, if I did that, then this would happen. And he said, we don't allow any predictions here. No prophesying here in the counseling room. You don't know what's going to happen. All you can assume is that those are things that might happen. But over and over again, when people have actually done what I've shown them the Bible says you ought to do, then the results were far different than what they expected, far better than what they expected. When you try to figure out the future, you are grasping at things that belong to God. That's not your place. That's why you don't do the job very well. This, like all forms of worry, is in actuality an act of rebellion. You see? I will hold on to what belongs to God. I will take for myself what belongs to God. And it doubts his promise to care for you. In Psalm 32:8, not a bad one to mark also if you want to turn there, Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. That's a promise, isn't it? Then he adds, I will guide thee with mine eye. Various of the commentators say, well, it's the psalmist who's saying this, and others say, no, this is God. Charles Spurgeon came down on the side that it was the Lord. He says, here the Lord is the speaker and gives the psalmist an answer to his prayer. So earlier the psalmist is praying, asking for help. Here he believes is God's answer. Spurgeon goes on, our Savior is our instructor. The Lord himself deigns to teach his children to walk in the way of integrity. His holy word and the admonitions of the Holy Spirit are the directors of the believer's daily conversation. We are not pardoned that we may henceforth live after our own lusts, but that we may be educated in holiness and trained for perfection. A heavenly training is one of the covenant blessings which adoption seals to us. All thy children shall be taught by the Lord. Practical teaching is the very best of instruction, and they are thrice happy who, although they never sat at the feet of Gamaliel and are ignorant of Aristotle and the ethics of the schools, have nevertheless learned to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And the phrase, I will guide thee with mine eye. How do you guide someone with your eye? My wife and I have done that for a long time. Before we were married down at Bob Jones University, we'd be in the library, and I saw somebody that I thought looked funny. So I would raise my head and just look at her across the way. And then once in a while she'd look up, and then she'd look over at me, and then I'd go, you know, like, oh, gotcha, you know. And she was always surprised when it looked like I summoned her to look at me. And then I would look over at the person I thought looked funny. So then she was instructed by my eye to look at that, and it would be a little funny break. I will guide thee with mine eye. As servants take their cue from the master's eye, and a nod or a wink is all that they require, so should we obey the slightest hints of our master, not needing thunderbolts to startle our incorrigible sluggishness, or being controlled by whispers, but being controlled by whispers and love touches. The Lord is the great overseer, whose eye in providence overlooks everything. It is well for us to be the sheep of his pasture, following the guidance of his wisdom. So whenever you find yourself worrying about the future, repent. I'm sorry for trying to take what belongs to God. See? Repent, return to Christ. He will show you the next step forward and the one after that, and the one after that. He won't necessarily show you the one 10 steps ahead, but he'll show you the next step. And you'll do that because he shows you where you ought to stand, where you ought to be day by day by day. So relax and enjoy the journey. Sometimes the journey seems boring. Sometimes it seems like an adventure. It was a Chinese curse. May you live in adventurous times. And an adventure is always a scary thing. So relax and enjoy the journey in his presence. You have the guide, you have the protector, you have the one in control with you at all times. So trust him to open up the way before you as you go. The secret things belong unto the Lord.